Good morning, all. Today's scripture comes from Acts chapter 2. I'll be reading from verse 1 to 12, and I'll be reading it in Telugu.
పెంతకోస్తుల పండుగ దినము వచ్చినప్పుడు అందరూ ఒక చోట కూడి ఉండిరి. అప్పుడు వేగముగా వీచు బలమైన గాలి వంటి ఒక ధ్వని ఆకాశము నుండి అకస్మాత్తుగా వారు కూర్చుండి ఉన్న ఇల్లు అంతాయు నిండెను. మరియు అగ్నిజ్వాలల వంటి నాలుకలు విభాగింపబడినట్టుగా వారికి కనబడి వారిలో ఒక్కొక్కని మీద వ్రాలగా అందరూ పరిశుద్ధాత్మ నిండిన వారై ఆత్మ వారికి వాక్శక్తిని అనుగ్రహించిన కొలది అన్యభాషలతో మాట్లాడసాగిరి. ఆ కాలమున ఆకాశము క్రిందునుండు ప్రతి జనములలో నుండి వచ్చిన భక్తిగల యూదులు యెరూషలేములో కాపురముండిరి. ఈ శబ్దము కలుగగా జనులు గుంపులుగా గూడి వచ్చి ప్రతి మనుష్యుడు తన భాషలతో వారు మాట్లాడుట విని కలవరపడిరి. అంతటా అందరూ విభ్రాంతి నొంది ఆశ్చర్యపడి, ఇదిగో మాట్లాడుచున్న వీరందరూ గలిలయులు కారా? మనలో ప్రతివాడు తాను పుట్టిన దేశ భాషతో వీరు మాట్లాడుట మనము వినుచున్నామే, ఇది ఏమి? పార్తీయులు, మాదీయులు, ఎలామీయులు, మెసపొతేమియాలు, యూదాయు, కొపదికియాయు, పొంతు, ఆసియా, ఫ్రుగ్రియా, పొంతియులు, ఐగుప్తులు అను దేశముల యందలి వారు, కూరే అనే దగ్గర లిబియా ప్రాంతముల యందు కాపురమున్నవారు, రోమా నుండి పరవాసులుగా వచ్చిన వారు, యూదులు, యూదమత ప్రతిష్ఠులు, క్రేతీయులు, అరబీయులు మొదలైన మన మందరమును వీరు మన భాషలతో దేవుని గొప్ప కార్యములు వివరించుట వినుచున్నామని చెప్పుకొనిరి. అందరూ విభ్రాంతి నుండి ఎటూ తోచక ఇది ఏమగునో అని ఒకనితో ఒకను చెప్పుకొనిరి. వర్డ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ టు ద పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. థ్యాంక్స్ బీ టు గాడ్.
Amen. Amen. I want to say to Mina, that is one of the most difficult scriptures to read in any language. Thank you so much for reading it so beautifully for us this morning. Naming all those places is very hard, so thank you. Thank you. I invite us to a time of prayer together. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will move in our hearts as we reflect on this day of Pentecost and God's word. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, fill the hearts of your faithful today. Kindle within us the fire of your love. And in that, help us, Lord, to be a part of where you are at work, where your Spirit is hovering and moving and blazing to transform the world around us. Settle our hearts and minds this morning toward the prompting of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "The only person you are destined to become is the person you've decided to be." The only person you've destined to become is the person that you've decided to be. I want to lay that in front of you because so much of our life of faith and the way we engage God's Spirit and the way of Jesus Christ has to do with our decisions, who you decide to be. Think about it. It's really baked into our theology. And the old hymnal that's in our pews, there's it's a fun song. "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." We sing that sometimes. There's that decision point that brings us into faith with Christ, right? But there's so many decisions that build the fullness of that. It's not just one decision. If we read that song at face value, then it's not very good theology, because it takes a lot of decisions, and we're going to talk some about the decisions of the people on the day of Pentecost and some of our decisions today about how we can come closer in concert with the Spirit of God at work in the world, how we can join that Spirit at work. I want you to think about points of decision and even the points that took you to do whatever you had to do this morning to be in worship, whether you're in our online community or you're here in this space. Sometimes when my children were young and there was just so much going on with getting three ready for church and getting ready for church, there was that point on some Sunday mornings where I was like, I don't know if it's worth it. Maybe we should stay home today. Have you been in that place? Yeah, parents of kids, you certainly, there was, or maybe you're bringing your grandkids to church and it just gets really complicated. Sometimes you've had that week. And maybe your week was like this. You've been through the week where it's just been really hard, and you have intention to be in church, and you set your alarm, and then it rings. And then it's Sunday morning, and your bed feels so good, and maybe it is one of those rainy days like Barbara, a dreary day, and you just want to stay in bed. But something motivates you, something pulls you to make the decisions it takes to hit the floor and to do what you need to do to get yourself together, to be present in worship, whether here in the church building or online in a community, to do this live thing of where we join together and we gather into community. Our decisions, those decisions that bring us to worship, that's part of us living our five commitments. We've been talking about a year of trying to lean in and be more faithful to the way of Christ. You all have been faithful to Christ in your decision makings just today, to get up and make all those decision points, to be here, to be present in worship, in the space. Our decisions joining with God's intention. Let's talk about the people of Pentecost on that morning a little bit, and some of I want you to think about their decision tree, because it took a lot, I want to think, for them to be present on the day of Pentecost. You think about their faith journey and their encounter with Jesus, right? Jesus went through this trajectory where a lot of people questioned who he was, and then he died right on the cross, and then he came back, and he intermingled with this community in and out, the scripture tells us, over a number of days. Some of them probably present in the upper room, many of them had seen him, some of them maybe not. All these stories were told about him. And then he goes with his closest disciples, and he ascends into heaven. And as he's doing this, as he's given his last pep talk to those disciples, he says, I want you to gather up and go in Jerusalem and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And on the day of Pentecost, early in the morning, think about this, kind of like us gathered in church, early in the morning, they have been there on the 10th day. They have been together waiting. You have to think about how many things you've been willing to wait 10 days for and really do that with intention. The story had to be passed around from those disciples to say, hey, Jesus said, as we saw him ascend into heaven, that we needed to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit to come. I don't know about you, but on about day one or two and nothing maybe happened, like nothing happened, I've been ready to go do something else. But these disciples, they believed in Christ. They believed in God's promises through Jesus. Jesus had told them the power was going to come, and so they stayed. They stayed together in circles. And on this morning, the Spirit came with that rush of wind and the fire that lit above everyone's head, and they began to speak in languages that were not their own. All of that happened as they made decisions to stay in that place. On this day, the world-changing message of Jesus emerged in power. Jesus had been a particular person, this Messiah figure, and then with the wind of the Spirit, there was a universality of his grace that everyone could embrace. That's what happened on Pentecost. It went from the very particular Son of God who died on the cross and rose again, and this power of Christ emerged through the community. Through the gathered community, through the people, and those that were gathered for this festival, all in Jerusalem, from all those places that Mina read to us, they were able to understand this grace as it was shared with them in their own language. Their intention, their decisions, their giftedness joined with God's plan on that day. And the church, and we talk about inclusivity, this is where the church got really inclusive. It went from a particularized Galilean sect to a worldwide mission. It began on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, moving out to all people. We've been talking the past few weeks, and our kids kind of talked about what it meant to really live into this faith last week when they did our children's service. We've been talking about our meaning, finding our meaning in the nature of God, the meaning of life, through the nature of God, which is love. Today, as we talk about the Spirit, we're going to be kicking off a few weeks of talking about what it means to live a life in the Spirit, and we're calling this series A Dynamic Life. A dynamic life. What does it mean as we live, as we find our meaning in a God who loves us, a God who embraces all? What does it mean to have that life energized, to become dynamic through God's Spirit? Dynamic might not be a word that you use a lot, but it means energized, basically filled with. When you say someone is dynamic, then there's some power in them. When I first read this word, it took me back to my childhood, to the dynamic duo. That was the first thing. You can tell what cartoons I watched when I was a kid, and you may not know if you're young what I'm talking about in the room. It's Batman and Robin, but the power, right? They had that title because they were powerful. A dynamic life is infused with the power of God's Spirit, and that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. When we're connected to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. Now, this sounds amazing when we talk about Pentecost and what happened on that day and the potential of it. But this word Spirit, I want to talk a little bit about how it gets satiated in our understanding of just the word Spirit, because we use it a lot. I think we understand Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, that we have a little bit of difficulty with. Think about it. Think about what you know in Spirit. My kids, they went to Nelson Elementary School, and Nelson were the Nelson Knights, and there was a catchy song about the Nelson Knights, and we taught our kids that song. The teachers taught it, and we were teaching them school what? Spirit. Right? School Spirit. We know what this is. We began to be engaged in what is Spirit from a young age. And then we got all the team Spirit, right? They're raising the sports, and we cheer from them, and we get our professional teams, and we cheer for them. We know what it means to have team Spirit. And we, in the American context, I think we even know what it means to have the American Spirit. We know that good Spirit that moves in Americans when we can stand back and really feel proud to be an American. That American Spirit. And it's for other cultures too, but we have that within the confounds of our country. We know it when we see it and we experience it. We talk about the Christmas Spirit a lot through the fall and winter season, and that's got expanded beyond anything that really fully connects to the church. But someone, you know, moving along, humming the Christmas carols, they've got the Christmas Spirit, right? And we know that, and we can label it. But the Holy Spirit, this Spirit that birthed the church, that expanded the confines of the church, what about that? And how do we understand it? And how does it connect to what we know of being spirited? I thought, let's go back to the root of this word. And I know some of you have studied it in the Latin and in the Hebrew and the Greek. They all kind of interact. You can look at the individual languages, but they all connect, I think, to the Latin root, which is spiritus. And when you look at that word, you kind of have to think and look at the base of it. Those of you that are good with language, and All of the meaning, when you look at the word, it's Hebrew, Greek, or Latin, it means it's really connected with breath. There's this aliveness when someone is spirited. There's a life to it. That's where we get the root of spur, which gives us words like respiration, right? Breath, and gives us words like inspiration. When someone is spirited, they're inspiring, right? There's an inspiration to the word. So to be alive, to be reaving, to be dynamic, these words interchange with one another. And when you think about spirit, breath, and life, they kind of all equate in the same way. So, let's look at the next slide. There we go. So you see this equivalency across these words. Which is like, okay, I get it, to be spirited and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost, they were really filled, and the church should be, and we should engage in this. But a lot of modern theologians, I just pulled one that I like. Predick Buchner writes this about the Spirit in the church in this day as a contemporary theologian. So the word Spirit, as it relates to the people of Christ in the present day, has become pale and shapeless like an unmade bed, he said. Do you feel that and sense that it's just this thing? Why is that? This, when we talk of the Holy Spirit, that it's this thing out there and it kind of doesn't have shape or maybe doesn't have power anymore, or maybe we've become too educated to really believe that the Spirit is moving and the Spirit exists. That's some of the questions I ask. Because we know what it means to be spirited, but to be spirited in our faith is something like, that might be for another denomination, or maybe for another person. But so much of Scripture calls us to this life of the Spirit. And to be spirited, I had this experience of being spirited in the secular way a few years ago when I went to see the Denver Broncos play. 2015, the Broncos were having a winning season. I did not know this because I don't follow football really closely. So I hadn't been to a professional football game since I was in college. And my husband and I were on vacation in 2015 in Denver, and we didn't know it, but Denver had been having a winning season, which turned out to be a Super Bowl victory season. It was after Christmas, the season was wrapping up, and we got tickets. We were in town, let's go see the Broncos play. And we thought, oh, this will be fun. We'll figure that. My husband had never been to a professional football game. So we did a really fun thing in 2015 as we called a shared Uber up. That was kind of a new thing in 2015. And we got in the share ride as the first couple, and then the next couple into the car was a Native American couple who had driven down from Utah to come to this game. And they were in Native dress, except it was orange in Bronco colors. There was a headdress, and the wife had made beaded Bronco earrings. And they were so excited. They'd driven this long way. They dressed for this event. And they were just telling us what a great season the Broncos had had. The car was electric as we drove down to the stadium. We got out in the parking lot, and everybody was that way. There was just this electricity about being a Denver Bronco in that season. We walked into the stadium. We didn't know what we were doing. It's 10 degrees. We had all these clothes on. And we got in our seats, and there was not an empty seat in that stadium. It was we were squished in. And the Broncos take the field, and they shoot off fireworks. There are fireworks that come out of a Bronco's mouth, and the team runs through. And it was like the stadium moved. Maybe you've had these experiences. And there were old men that were dancing. They were dancing. Some of them took their shirts off in 10 degrees. I didn't get this. And young people were jumping up and down. And they all had their stuff on. And I think they were playing Cleveland, but they won. And they went on this big roll toward winning the Super Bowl. So much spirit. And a moment, and they were singing these songs and doing these chants. And just for a moment, it was like God said, look around, Gina. And so I kind of stepped back, and there were the old men dancing and the young people jumping up and down, and they were singing. And I thought, wow, these people are excited. What if the church got this excited about something? I thought, what if we were that spirited? It's different. But they were inspired by a winning season. Inspired by a winning season. And I took note of that. It's like, what does it mean for us to join in the inspiration of God's work? And how is that similar and how is it different? And they were wearing their colors and all their things and jumping up and down because they were a part of a winning season. But in reality, we as a people of faith, we are a part of a God who is already part of a winning season that started way back at the cross. It really started in the book of Genesis. God has wanted for us to join in his spirit since the beginning of time. And Pentecost Sunday is just infused with that. When the people are there, they've made all those decisions, their decision trees not to walk out, their decision tree to be present, their decision to believe in Jesus, joined with God's plan for all of God's people on that day. It makes me think about what it would mean for us to truly lean in, to live into our potential, to become a person who truly decides to follow the Spirit of Christ. Back to Emerson, right? That Emerson quote, the only person you're destined to become is the person you decide to be. If you want to be a part of something amazing, then you've got to make decisions, large and small, that sync up with the will of God, with what God is doing, with what God has planned for the world. And part of that is living faithfully into your commitments with Christ. We've been talking about this year of encountering Jesus and Jesus' ways and 5 commitments, right? Worship, grow, serve, share. And I said you all are a part of worshiping today and you're seeking to grow in your faith just by being in worship. The people on the day of Pentecost, the one that we have the most trouble with is share, right? The people on the day of Pentecost are empowered by the Holy Spirit to share the good news message of Jesus. That's all they do on that day. If you read a little bit further and you look at the sermon Peter preached, 5,000 people, more than 5,000 people, came to faith on that day. And really, Peter is just speaking about the goodness of God made known in Jesus Christ, sharing the faith, wired and connected to the way of God. Now, if you're hearing all this and you think, oh, that's amazing, the day of Pentecost and the power to reach and to be inclusive and to welcome in and share, you might be thinking about how you might be wired to do this. Like, oh, she's talking about the Spirit of God at work and calling in me, and I've always thought that's kind of an external thing, but it's really an internal wiring thing. It's when your decisions sync up with the way God has wired you to be, and you join the work that God is doing in the world. If you're thinking about, I need a little bit of help with this, then we have something that we want to offer to you over the next few weeks. Some of you have been a part of this before, and it's a program called Strength Finders. It's looking at how God has wired you. Everybody's been wired with innate strengths and gifts. And then taking and using those gifts, making decisions with those gifts that sync up with the work that God is calling you to do in your life, right, in your daily life, in your context. You may have seen the board that we have outside. If you haven't, I want you to look at this. This is from the last time Florist Restoration did Strength Finders. Maybe your gifts are up here and you're like, I did that, but I forgot it. I read the book, but I forgot what my gifts are. Then Bill Gray is going to be out here. Bill's in the back of the room this morning. If you're in the house this morning, Bill would like to help you understand this, to remember where you are. We kept that. If you're new with us and say, I've never done that before, or if you did it at work sometime and you said, I don't know how that connects with my life of faith, then we want you to connect with Bill or Carol, who's going to be out at a table this morning. Or if you're not here this morning, if you're watching us online, Bill is going to provide for us a workshop on our strengths on July 12th, and that's at 6:30. We'd love for you to think about what your strengths are. Bill told me there's 34 of those gifts across. I've done this. I keep mine in hand, so I'm always assessing my strengths. And you look at your top 5 and how God can deploy those, how God can have you lean into your giftedness to make decisions based on that giftedness, and then join with where God is calling you. Let's take just a quick look at a testimony from one of our members and how she found this really useful in her life.
That the whole point of God putting us on this earth is to appreciate the gifts and talents in other people. Don't covet them. Celebrate them. And don't tell ourselves that we are less than because we can't do that job as well. So to celebrate our own strengths as well. So celebrating all people's strengths, regardless of who they are, and all people.
So all people's gifts, all people's strengths, this helps you. And they're very unique. Your profile is really unique compared to my profile or somebody else's in the room. So this is a great tool that I commend to you to think about how the Holy Spirit can use you, how you can take your decisions and the way God has built you and wired you and lean those decisions and your gifts into where God is at work in the present moment. On the day of Pentecost, that message needed to be pushed out. It needed to be shared with the world. And so God took the giftedness and the faithfulness of the people there and the preaching skills of Peter, and he leaned it in and pushed it out. And we saw this beautiful flowing from the birth of the church into the early church. Reflecting on the day of Pentecost, I pulled a piece of artwork that I like. This was done a few years ago by an artist by the name of Jan Richardson. And I want to share that with you just for a moment to look at. You certainly can see the flames of Pentecost in this. The title, though, that she gives this piece is Scorched by Grace. And when I saw that and I looked at this, I saw kind of the humanness, which I equate with sort of the red colors in there, and then the divine nature of God, which is more the golden yellows interspersing, sort of melding and melting together. God scorching us with God's grace to unleash what's within us, the work that God calls us to do. That's the power of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jan beautifully speaks to this, and I want to share, if you have that image kind of in your mind's eyes, the words and poetry that she puts to this, because she says the Spirit and waiting for the Spirit is a blessing. She calls this the grace that scorches us. She says, bring your sorrow, bring your grief, bring your fear, bring your weariness, your pain, your disgust at how broken the world is, how fractured, how fragmented by its fighting, its wars, its hungers, its penchant for power, its ceaseless repetition of the history it refuses to rise above. I will not tell you that this blessing will fix all that, but in the place where you are gathered, wait, watch, listen. Lay aside your inability to be surprised, your resistance to what you do not understand. See then whether this blessing turns to flame on your tongue, sets you to speaking what you cannot fathom, or opens your ear to a language beyond your imagining that comes as knowing in your bones, a clarity in your heart that tells you this is the reason we were made. For this ache that finally opens us, for this struggle, this grace that scorches us toward one another and into the blazing day. That's Jan Richardson. Thinking about those tongues of fire, I've always thought about them, and this scorching idea made me think that as those tongues of fire descended into the hearts of those on the day of Pentecost, maybe that scorched what had held them back. Their fears, their doubts, their weariness in waiting and the long waiting for the Messiah. And on that day, as their giftedness and their passions and their decisions meshed with the power of God, then that was just unleashed in the flames of that scorching. Church, I think we need to be scorched a little bit by the flames of the Holy Spirit. What's within us needs to be unleashed. I commend the Strength Finders program to you. I commend you to look for where you can lean in to the work that God is calling you to join in the world. And that's powerful. Pray with me. Let us pray. God of wind and flame, God who sets ablaze the church for the work of Jesus Christ in the world for all time, not just for an ancient day long ago that we celebrate today, but for right now. Fall afresh on us with your Spirit. Help us to join our hearts and our decisions and our strengths with the power that you call us to join. A power that can heal our broken world. A power that can break down barriers. A power that can help us take on the love and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, for today's time, for such a time as this. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.